Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Tan Murthy, international top-ranking business and technology leader, industry-leading visionary innovator, outstanding global executive, vice president and head of research and education, Infosys Technologies Limited, and founding director, IP3 Global Industry Council. Tan, you have a remarkable lifetime history of outstanding contributions in a number of fields. We sincerely thank you for coming in today to share your considerable expertise, deep insights, and wisdom with our audience.
Stephen, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's a pleasure speaking to you.
Tan, can you tell us more about Infosys, its roots, vision, and mission?
Certainly. Infosys was founded by 7 software professionals in 1981. That they started with the equivalent of about $250 borrowed from their wives is now part of the company's history. At the end of March 2010, Infosys had a revenue of $4.8 billion for the last financial year, with more than 113,000 employees across the globe. Our vision is to be a globally respected corporation, providing best-of-breed business solutions, leveraging technology with the best-in-class people. That briefly is what Infosys is all about.
Can you tell us more about your vision and objectives behind your current roles, and then what you hope to accomplish and how you will bring this about?
The education and research group at Infosys is started with competency development of our people. As head of this group, my role involves raising the competencies of every individual that joins the firm, first through our 23-week residential program, and then keep the competence of our experienced employees current and relevant for the work we are engaged with our clients. In addition, I have a role to play in influencing the educational ecosystem in India to bridge the skill gap between students coming out of academia and the needs of the industry. So this involves working with not only academia, but also with government agencies and industry organizations to facilitate that change within the country.
Now, I know you also interface with the ACM, the Association for Computing Machinery. So how would you like the ACM education programs and resources to evolve over the next 3 years?
ACM, as the world's largest education and scientific computing society, plays a significant role in providing educational programs and resources, especially to the professionals in the IT industry. With the evolution of technology, I think ACM can provide its rich content in a variety of forms, like multimedia-based classes, podcasts, and e-books to the global audience. ACM will have to continue the journey to package its content to make it more relevant to the working professional and the educator community. I think ACM has a wealth of knowledge that can now reach out to different professionals and the academia that can bring in large difference to the computing world.
What are some of the highlights of the current ACM offerings for ongoing professional development for computing professionals?
ACM's digital library is a wealth of rich content for the computing professional. In addition, the Element K courses offer educational content in a variety of ways that are relevant to the busy professional. The virtual labs and the online books make ACM a preferred destination for the working professional interested in continuous learning. So I think there's a lot of things that ACM is offering today, and I expect that more will come.
So what can be done to upgrade the employability of recent graduates?
I would classify the skill gap between a recent graduate and the needs of the industry into 3 buckets. 1, critical thinking and problem solving. 2, communication. And 3, teamwork. I think it's important to raise awareness about these gaps as much as there is a need to provide interventions to bridge the gaps. In India, this is being addressed through faculty enablement programs and special interventions at the undergraduate schools. I think industry-academia relationships is an important element for addressing the employability issue. For example, the Infosys Campus Connect program is aimed at building a relationship with over 400 engineering schools in India.
So what can be done to update the employability of early career, mid-career, and end-career computing professionals? And what are the differences in the educational programs?
I think first, all 3 categories of professionals should consciously recognize the need for continuous education. This means professionals set aside time to learn new things. For early career professionals, the learning has to be focused on gaining depth in a specific area. While for mid-career professionals, I think it is about gaining horizontal competencies to become a professional with what is now called a T-shaped competencies. I think end-career professionals should focus on sharpening their skills in various leadership dimensions so that they can become leaders that facilitate large-scale change through coaching and mentoring of young professionals. So that's how I look at what people at, along these the spectrum of their careers perhaps can focus on.
You know, one thing that really strikes me is that Infosys is one of the world's most successful companies with such tremendous reach and providing tremendous value worldwide to many of their clients and customers worldwide. So taking that into consideration then, what are the 5 to 10 attributes that Infosys looks at when hiring people?
Now, at Infosys, we look at learnability as the key requirement for hiring an individual. We define learnability as the ability to make generic conclusions from specific instances and apply them to new problems. Change is really the only constant in our industry, and therefore it is important for our people to be able to learn new things all the time. Of course, integrity and a sound value system is a critical attribute that we expect every individual to have. Our tagline, powered by intellect, driven by values, sums up the focus of the firm on the key attributes.
I see. So that part of that sounds like you're sort of addressing sort of Bloom's taxonomy, the sort of the higher levels. You know, the earlier levels are things like knowledge, application, or comprehension and so on, but it looks like you're looking at synthesis and evaluation.
Right.
So how does Infosys attract the right people?
Well, over the years, Infosys has built a brand for itself as an employer of choice for prospective employees. In many campuses in India, Infosys is a dream company to work for. The recruitment process involves a test at the entry level, while for the experienced individuals, it is through an interview process. But in all cases, it is about interacting with the individual, understanding the learnability aspect, and understanding how well they're aligned with the value system that determines the next step in terms of getting them on board.
Now, retention can be a major issue in many regions of the world. So what can you do to retain people?
To us, retention is through adding value to our people. We look at that along three dimensions: economic, educational, and emotional. So helping employees build assets through soft loans is something the firm had been doing for a long time. So this is in addition to, you know, compensation and all of that. Our learning interventions, for example, not only help in building employee competency, but also at the end of the day, increase the resume value of the individual. So looking at the needs of individuals, bringing a value addition to them, engaging the employee are all methods in which we look at retaining individuals.
So how do you handle upgrading of skills?
Well, keeping competencies of our people current and relevant is a key focus area for the firm. We do that through our continuous education programs, interventions related to an individual role requirements, in addition to programs specific for executing a project are all part of continuous education. So we create centers of excellence, for example, for people to learn from practitioners. We look at interventions that help people understand and then assess them for the knowledge that they've gained. The competency development part is integrated with performance management so that there is a holistic approach to skill development in the organization.
You know, Thomas Friedman got his inspiration for The World is Flat by visiting your headquarters and just seeing the global reach of your organization. And I remember you sharing that story at a conference to the conference delegates. So taking that into consideration, that the fact that Infosys has a global reach and understands the different regions around the world, what specific competencies and skills are in high demand by region?
We believe a professional in our industry needs competencies along four dimensions: technology, business domain, processes, and soft skills. Now, the quantum of each one of them may differ based on the specific role. For example, a software engineer might need more of the technology component. A project manager might need more of the project management processes, risk management processes. A business analyst might need more of the business domain. But that doesn't mean that they don't need the other three competencies. Therefore, focusing on a holistic set of competencies for every individual by role and then making it more relevant based on the area of their work or their place of work makes it more focused. So that's how we go about taking a whole set of competencies by role and then making it relevant for the individual's role and location, making it more specific.
So how do you see this changing in 3 years and then 5 years?
Well, while the core of what this means may not significantly change, I do think that there will be a need for individuals to deepen their problem-solving skills, to be able to apply their knowledge in the context of the changing world situations. For example, a car is now regarded more as a computer on wheels rather than as a motorized mechanical device. Now, this would mean that people have a broader knowledge base. They're able to integrate knowledge from multiple disciplines. They're able to work collaboratively with a global team. So that means that in the long term, professionals will have to learn to produce results in a much more collaborative way, be able to understand the impact of their solutions on resource usage, be conscious of things like green IT, be conscious of the environmental impact of the work being done. Therefore, the knowledge base will have to significantly increase. The ability to collaborate across cultures will have to go up. The ability to respond to changing needs will have to go up significantly. So these are some of the things I think will happen and will change in how professional competencies are developed over the next few years.
Now, what are the best resources then to keep computing professionals upgraded?
Well, for starters, I think becoming members of professional organizations like ACM is important for professionals so that they can network and they can network with global professionals, perhaps even professionals across industries, leverage the vast body of knowledge that is available through the internet. These are some things I think every professional needs to do. In addition, I think professionals will also have to focus on self-learning and learning through teams. So the first step, of course, is the membership. Then it is to leverage what is available. And the third is networking.
What specific education programs did you implement in the past?
In the past, most educational programs were instructor-led classroom sessions. Today, it is more of blended learning. There is a combination of classroom conversations coupled with more hands-on project-based learning and self-paced e-learning. So it's already changing in terms of how education is happening, and I think more of it will happen as we go along.
And of course, I guess the ACM with their online programs could be a great asset in the self-paced learning.
Absolutely, absolutely right.
What would education programs look like in 3 years and in 5 years?
I think education programs will undergo a drastic change in the next 3 to 5 years. I think technology will play an increasing role in education delivery. Also, I think the paradigm will shift from attending a class at a designated place to my place, and from a predetermined time to my time, and from the educator's pace to my pace. So day-long and week-long sessions, I think, will have to move to much smaller chunks, measured more in hours and minutes. Already, the paradigm has changed where the educator does not have to be the sage on the stage, but can be the facilitator on the side. So learning where I want, when I want, and how I want will be the next big change. Providers of education will have to gear up for this change that will be forced by technology and the tech-savvy, social media-savvy generation that will be part of the new workforce.
You know, it's interesting because of the sort of learning being sort of me-focused rather than sort of educator-focused or other kinds of vehicles-focused. Where does mobile play in all of this?
Well, that's a big part of it, because that's where that's what gives the flexibility of getting the education where I want it, right? So when I want to get education in my place, so mobility helps, connectivity helps. If I'm able to get a 10-minute podcast on a concept that I need to know now, that can happen only because technology is making it possible.
How do educational needs differ for outsourcing companies?
Professionals in outsourcing companies need to have depth in their subject matter and a consultative mindset. In addition, collaborative working style coupled with cultural sensitivity and above all, of course, a client focus are all critical for a professional in the services industry. And the professional in the services industry is the one for whom I think the changes in the way technology is delivered will be more appealing and will probably be the subscriber to these changed ways of technology delivery, because the professional in the services industry is perhaps more mobile.
You know, Infosys is one of the most successful global companies, so how do educational needs differ for global companies like Infosys?
So most outsourcing companies are global companies, and therefore some of the same skills that we just talked about apply. Now, depending on the nature of the business of the global companies, the depth of domain knowledge may vary, the depth to which a particular technology has to be understood may vary, the cultural sensitivity aspects certainly vary from region to region. So all of those will bring in their own sets of or dimensions of additional requirement for a global company.
What must organizations do then to be successful?
Well, I think successful organizations are those that pay attention to all their stakeholders, clients, employees, investors, vendor partners, governments of the land they operate in, and the community at large. So focusing on the unwritten social contracts with the same intensity as the focus on commercial business contracts is a key characteristic to me of a successful organization. These organizations are constantly innovating to make sure that they are sustainable for a long time to come. And I think successful organizations will benchmark with the best and strive to become the benchmark themselves.
You know, Tan, you've got this remarkable history and many, many successes. So over your long and distinguished career, what are your top lessons that you want to share with the broad audience?
Well, first, all my experiences have reinforced my belief that having a value system and following it is critical, irrespective of the situation. You can build trust and credibility only by continuous demonstration of integrity and honesty of purpose. Second, the key lesson I have learned is that the ability to execute is as important, if not more, than the ability to come up with new ideas, because an idea is only as good as the result of executing the idea. Third, I think it's important to constantly evaluate one's beliefs and competencies and reinvent oneself to stay relevant. This requires an open mind, the ability to take risks, and the humility to acknowledge areas for improvement. And last, I want to highlight is while the ability to work well in teams is imperative to be successful, working well in teams requires empathy and the ability to understand the context of every individual to make the team successful. These are some of the things that I've been fortunate to pick up along the way.
Now, I should mention that one of your recent accomplishments is that you've been elected to the Global Industry Council. In fact, you're a founding director, so congratulations on that significant achievement.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and I'm looking forward to learning some things from being there and then hopefully contributing as well.
I guess that ties into one of the tips that you give, and that is always be open to growth and to learning as well as to contribution. So, Tan, can you profile what is needed for IT professionals to be successful in today's agile, technology-driven climate?
I think an IT professional, first of all, again, I go back to the integrity piece, and I think integrity is more critical now than ever before, because with technology and access to technology, there are so many vulnerabilities that can get created. Therefore, integrity of the IT professional is critical. Then from there comes other things like competence, which is about knowing the concepts and knowing how to apply them, the skill to communicate, because what a client is looking for from an IT professional is not only a solution, but also options on what is to be done. Therefore, competence of the IT professional is critical to be able to fulfill that demand from a client for solutions and articulations of solutions. Then I think the ability to work well in teams is very, very critical, because there's nothing that can be accomplished by a single individual, and therefore recognizing the need to work well with teams is very important, and to develop and harness that ability. The last that I would say is the going beyond the team, the collaborative work, but also to be able to demonstrate passion and commitment for the work to be done, and not get overly stuck up with a single area or of work or single technology, because diversity of experience will be critical to be successful in the long run.
Now, you are the sort of the keystone of a global network, sort of the hub of this great ecosystem. And in that capacity, then, can you make predictions for their future, their implications, and how executives and computing professionals can best prepare?
I think the future will be very different from the current and the past in more ways than one. First, I think the number of people with access to the internet and social networking perhaps will double over the next 3 to 5 years. And this, I think, will have a large impact in the way business is done, whether you are a manufacturer, a retailer, an utility, or a service provider. I think you'll end up dealing with consumers and customers who are much more knowledgeable, who will be more demanding, and who will expect service that will be unique to them. So that has a large implication. Second, I think computing will become more pervasive. What I mean by that is, I think computers will, in some sense, graduate from being the devices for analysis and computation to become also the devices for sensing. And that would mean that computing will move from the desktop and the laptops and the handhelds to being on devices that will now start being sensors and send signals, and therefore the IT professional or the computing professional will need to know much more of building these large systems that all have to be well integrated. And I think that has a large implication for the computing professional. The third, I think the collective conscious of human beings will go up significantly about the impact of our existence on the world around us. That is about recognizing the impact of climate change, the impact of resource usage, whether it is energy or anything else. And all of those, I think, will have an impact on, again, how business is done, because there will be a demand from the user community to know what a particular business is doing about resource consumption. So I think all of this will have long-term changes on the way we look at things and the way things are operated.
So what do you see as the three top challenges facing us today, and how do you propose they be solved?
I think the digital divide is a challenge, and that's where I'm hopeful that with technology becoming cheaper, with the convergence and all of that, there will be more access provided to more people. But technology divide, I think, is a challenge, because we have to get more people onto the same bandwagon. The second, I think, is the impact of climate change and resource usage is a challenge. And the third is our vulnerability to human and natural threats. I think these, to me, are some key challenges that we are facing. Education, to me, can play a large role in solving some of these issues. So if digital divide can be bridged through technology, and if education can help people recognize the changes and work towards mitigating the risk of climate changes. And education, again, can help in understanding the threat and hopefully mitigating those threats as well, not only through technology, but also through the gainful employment of people across the globe. So to me, education is a large has a large role to play in mitigating or addressing some of the challenges that we face. Technology, of course, has a big role in facilitating all of these changes. So education and technology, to me, are some of the elements of the solution.
Now, Tan, we're at the end of this interview, and I have just one more question. And what I'm doing here, I'm going to sort of turn the tables and ask you, if you were conducting this interview on corporate education needs, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Stephen, you are the master, so you've asked all the questions that I can answer, so I don't think I can answer this one.
So. Okay. Well, you know, Ted, I always enjoy talking with you because you are really a significant luminary in industry worldwide, highly respected. And as I mentioned, you are the founding director of a global industry council, which will have significant impact for many years to come. And it just speaks to the nature of your work and the historical impact you are having. So I know your schedule is demanding, and, you know, we are indeed fortunate that you came in to do this interview. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with our audience.
Well, it's my pleasure talking to you, Stephen, and looking forward to being in touch with you.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Tan Murthy, international top-ranking business and technology leader, industry-leading visionary innovator, outstanding global executive, Vice President and Head of Research and Education, Infosys Technologies Limited, and Founding Director, IP3 Global Industry Council.